spot emails that I'm getting that are AI generated. There's a rhythm in the way it writes. Oh, and by the way, I think it read too many romance novels because the exclamation points drive me crazy.
Now, is there anything else that you would tell people about as far as artificial intelligence and how they might use it in their own lives? Maybe they're not a publisher or somebody on the radio or somebody writing for a newspaper, but they want to get their point across. They want to learn something. They want to communicate with others. How can they use AI to do that?
AI is like an advanced Google, where Google just gives you a whole listing of other websites where you can go and learn. You can ask AI a question, and it will go out and come back with several answers to your question. And if you don't like what it said, it says, well, from this point of view, look at it from this angle, and it'll go out and come back with it. A lot of people are using it, and younger people especially, instead of Google. Google's like old-fashioned.
Kathleen Kaiser, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you.
This is John Crumshoe with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Negwa Ibrahim. Palestinian prisoners by Israel this week show signs. So Palestinian prisoners that were released by Israel this week show signs of appalling torture, starvation, and medical neglect brought on by the imprisonment, reports say, underscoring the ongoing need for international intervention to stop Israel's abuses against its detainees. Israel released over 600 prisoners on Thursday after delaying their release for days, threatening the integrity of the ceasefire. Like many of the prisoners released prior to this, they were emaciated and had severe injuries, including amputated limbs. Prisoners also personally reported being tortured and beaten while in prison, with their accounts lining up with findings of Israel's systemic torture and physical and mental abuses against Palestinians in detention. Many of these prisoners were not charged with a crime, as Israel regularly detains Palestinians without cause. Israel has killed at least 60 detainees and prisoners since October 7, 2023. Euromed Human Rights Monitor said that Israel's treatment of detainees, quote, exceeds all legal and moral bounds, end quote, with some of the prisoners released this week needing immediate medical attention due to their condition. The group went on to say, quote, the atrocities occurring in these prisons are among the worst violations recorded by human rights organizations worldwide. The group further said, quote, the torture is part of Israel's crime of genocide, which aims to destroy the Palestinian people in the Strip, either entirely or partially, by weakening the foundations of their survival and leading them to submission or extinction, end quote. Disturbingly, prisoners were released wearing clothing printed with a biblical passage that calls for Palestinians to be, quote, destroyed in what is a clear incitement of genocide, the Euromed Monitor further said in their public statements. The Euromed Monitor went on to say, quote, the clothes said, I will pursue my enemies and overtake them. I will not return until I have destroyed them. End quote. And this was in reference to Psalm 18:37, a statement that the group Euromed Monitor said, quote, expressly calls for killing and genocide, end quote. Additionally, under the ceasefire agreement, Israel is supposed to be allowing a surge of tents, mobile homes, and other aid into Gaza. However, Israel has allowed the entry of only 10% of the tents specified under the agreement, while still blocking the entry of mobile homes and heavy-duty equipment needed to clear the rubble. Further, the electrical system is still largely destroyed, and generators are scarce, leaving Palestinians with little ability to warm up in brutal temperatures. And as Palestinians released from Israeli imprisonment recount torture and other abuse suffered at the hands of their former captors, and as Israel continues to block aid into Gaza, despite the ceasefire agreement, the Trump administration on Friday approved a new $3 billion weapons package for Israel. The new package includes nearly $2.7 billion worth of bombs and weapons guidance kits, as well as $295 million in bulldozers. The Trump administration said, quote, an emergency exists that requires the immediate sale, end quote, allowing it to bypass Congress, as the Biden administration did on multiple occasions. However, the weapons won't be delivered until 2026 or 2027. From October 2023 till October 2024, Israel received a record $17.9 billion worth of U.S. arms as it waged a war of annihilation against the Gaza Strip that has left more than 61 Palestinians killed, including 17,000 children, and millions more displaced, starved, or sickened. Israel is facing genocide allegations in an International Court of Justice case brought by South Africa. The International Criminal Court has also issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Reporting on the new weapons package by the United States came after U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Monday announced an effort to block four other arms sales totaling $8.56 billion in offensive American weapon to Israel, and after President Donald Trump posted an AI-generated video on social media depicting a version of Gaza that has been colonized by the U.S. and made into a beach resort for the rich. A disturbing show of his desire to forcibly displace Palestinians from the region and create a billionaire's playground on the rubble of Israel's genocide. With us today to talk about the current situation in Palestine and President Donald Trump's recently shared AI-generated video that shows his horrific futuristic vision for Gaza, featuring Trump himself, Elon Musk, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reveling and enjoying themselves on the ruins of displaced Palestinians and basking in the glory of an ethnically cleansed Gaza, is our guest Siraj Asi, a Palestinian writer living in Washington, D.C. His books include The History and Politics of the Bedouin and the novel My Life as an Alien. He teaches Palestine Studies at American University in Washington, D.C. He writes for Jacobin, Common Dreams, and Truth Out. Welcome back, Professor Asi, to Middle East in Focus.
Hi, Nagwa. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again. I was really grateful the last time you were on Middle East in Focus and for the conversation we had and just the knowledge that you're sharing with us, which is incredibly important to make sure that we're getting the information out. So I appreciate your work. I appreciate you joining us today. And we're just going to jump right in. For those who might not know about it, I described it a little bit in my opening, but can you describe Trump's AI-generated video of Gaza that he put out on social media?
Yes, it's a grotesque and disturbing video that was posted by U.S. President Donald Trump last Tuesday and shared on social media. It's an AI-generated video that, as you mentioned, shows his horrific futuristic vision for Gaza. It features Trump himself, along with war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu and Elon Musk, reveling and enjoying themselves on the ruins of displaced Palestinians in Gaza and basking in the glory of an ethnically cleansed and colonized Gaza. Now, the brazen footage, which Trump posted to Instagram and Truth Social, reimagines the devastated strip as a Middle East Riviera, boasting of a luxury Trump hotel, glittering Western skyscrapers, beach resorts with bearded belly dancers, and the colossal Trump golden statue hovering godlike over the besieged strip. There is also a Trump Gaza shop that offers golden merchandise of the U.S. president, where a child is carrying helium-inflated golden balloon shaped like Trump's head. It's, as I say, it's a grotesque and disturbing as Edward Said would also say, orientalist video that lasts for 30 seconds too long. It shows Trump waltzing with a belly dancer in a nightclub, Netanyahu enjoying poolside drinks at a luxury resort, and Musk eating a dip and showering locals with U.S. Dollar bills. So it's demeaning and dehumanizing. And it's set to an up-tempo dance track featuring paternalistic and personality cult-infused lyrics with, as I said, clearly orientalist tones. Quote, Trump, Donald Trump will set you free, bringing the light for all to see. No more tunnels, no more fear. Trump Gaza is finally here. Trump Gaza shining bright, golden future, a brand new light. So in a nutshell, Trump Gaza, as I mentioned in my article, celebrates ethnic cleansing. And nothing says indigenous eraser like renaming a place after its colonizer. The video shows total contempt for basic principles of international justice and human rights, and makes mockery of the more than 61,000 Palestinian victims, including over 17,000 children who have been massacred by Israel in Gaza over the past 15 months with U.S. funds and arms. And the video, which appears to take inspiration from the genocidal imaginations of some Zionist and pro-Israel social media accounts, has since gone viral. It has also sparked an outrage among anti-genocide activists and Palestinians who understood the dystopian horror lurking behind the outlandish AI-generated scenes, which, as I said, evoke long-held colonial fantasies of civilizing missions and the white man's burden, etc. So it's a bizarre and grotesque attempt by a U.S. president to remake Gaza in his image. As Dr. Ghassan Boussita summed it up quite eloquently, quote, the delusions of godlike divinity that shapes the colonial mind of white supremacy, both in the need for violence to be performative and in their belief of the benevolent nature of their crimes. So I have never seen war crimes celebrated in this manner. And to me, as a Palestinian, it's totally, you know, as I said, dehumanizing and demeaning to watch.
So I actually want to get into exactly that, something you state in your piece, which is, and I'm just going to quote you here, quote, this unhinged celebration of war crimes and crimes against humanity almost has no precedent in human history, end quote. Can you further elaborate on this and then also discuss Trump's proposals actually over the last few weeks to ethnically cleanse Gaza?
Yes, I mean, it has almost no precedent in human history, because throughout history, war criminals tried hard to hide and conceal their crimes, including the Nazis, not to celebrate them. And past criminals had the decency, ironically, to deny ethnic cleansing and genocides, because when you deny your crimes, it implies an admission of guilt. But unfortunately, this is no longer the case in Gaza. For example, in Israel, Israeli leaders have moved from denying the Nakba to celebrating it to vowing to carry out a second Nakba in Gaza. And this is also true in the case of U.S. leaders. Over the past weeks, Donald Trump has repeated his proposal to ethnically cleanse Gaza with shocking persistence. Quote, we just clean out the whole thing. Trump said just shortly after he was inaugurated, he told reporter on Air Force in the early days of his presidency. Raise it, he said. And he further described Gaza as a demolition site with phenomenal location on the sea and the best weather, as if the people who live there do not matter, as if they don't exist. And calling for the forced relocation of Palestinians from Gaza, Trump has further suggested that Egypt and Jordan should accept Palestinian refugees from Gaza as part of his plan to clean out the territory. Now, there's another alleged Trump administration proposal which suggests to forcibly relocate Palestinians from Gaza to Indonesia, therefore reviving a decades-long Israeli campaign to depopulate Gaza and ethnically cleanse it. Now, we must remember that Gaza is a colossal refugee camp that was created by Israel itself during the Nakba, where over a third of the nearly 1 million refugees who were forcibly expelled from their homes in Israel were squeezed in this tiny strip of land, tripling the population overnight. And this refugee reality of Gaza has haunted Israeli leaders ever since, who have set their minds on eliminating the refugee population of Gaza, from David Ben-Gurion down to Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, let me give you a slide or two. After Israel occupied Gaza in 1967, Israeli leaders like Moshe Dayan and Levi Eshkol contemplated forcibly transferring Gaza refugees to the West Bank or Sinai or Iraq or an Arab country in North Africa known as the Libyan Operation. They even hatched a secret plan called the Moshe Dayan Plan to transfer Gaza refugees to Latin America by air. But lucky for Palestinians, the plan was deemed costly and impractical, and it was abandoned. Now, that's precisely what Trump's plan is about. This is worse than ethnic cleansing. It's forced displacement, which is an international crime. And a group of UN human rights experts have warned that if implemented, Trump's plan for Gaza would plunge the world into, quote, the dark days of colonial conquest.
So, Professor Ossie, because there's a few follow-up questions I have based on some of the things you just said. First, with respect to the attempts to get Egypt and Jordan to agree to accept Palestinians, can you share with the listeners what the response was from Egypt and Jordan, and then also this new attempt to try to relocate Palestinians to Indonesia and Indonesia's response?
Well, all of these countries have rejected Trump's plan, and they came out with statements announcing that they are opposed to the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. But of course, Trump is trying to bully and threat these countries, especially Jordan and Egypt, two countries who rely on U.S. support and aid. And we all watched. King Abdullah of Jordan in his meeting with Trump at the White House being bullied by Trump to kind of accept this U.S. Proposal to ethnically cleanse Palestinians and send them to Jordan. So Egypt, President Sisi of Egypt has even declined meeting with Trump just to evade being bullied by Trump, into this kind of complicity. But it's, as I said, the U.S. is trying to use its leverage, its aid, foreign aid to these countries in order to force them to accept Palestinian refugees.
And Professor Ossie, can you also share with us what is the current situation right now in Gaza? I know that there is supposedly this ceasefire, but can you get us up to speed on what is actually going on with respect to the ceasefire and the current situation in Gaza?
Well, as we speak, Israel is working actively to sabotage the ceasefire agreement with Hamas, which is a fragile deal to start with. As you say that now, just today, Netanyahu announced that Israel has seized all aid from entering Gaza, which means Israel is continuing its genocide in Gaza. It's continuing its forced starvation of Palestinians in Gaza. And now, while it's tempting to succumb to euphoria after 15 months of endless bloodshed and heartless brutality, we must also maintain a sense of sobriety and admit that a ceasefire alone does nothing to remedy Israel's gross violation of human rights and international law in Gaza, which will continue to perpetuate genocide through starvation. And it's happening right now during the holy month of Ramadan. And according to international law, the blockade itself is a form of genocide, constitutes a genocide in international law. And as you mentioned, Israel continues to torture thousands of Palestinian prisoners in its torture camps, including thousands who have been kidnapped from Gaza since October 2023. So with the brutal blockade of Gaza still in place, the ceasefire deal will not bring an end to the genocide. As I said, the blockade itself constitutes an act of genocide. And an act of war, according to international law. So that's the situation. The ceasefire is, as I said, is fragile, elusive, and it was negotiated in bad faith.
So one of the things that you state in your piece is that we're entering into a dangerous phase in the U.S. genocidal complicity in Gaza. Can you elaborate on this and how the U.S. complicity in Israel's ethnic cleansing of Palestinians actually doesn't just stop in Gaza?
I mean, yes, it's a dangerous phase in which Trump's, as I say, Trump's pro-Israel mega donors, led by figures such as Miriam Adelson, who donated over $100 million to Trump's campaign, and cheered on by genocide mongers like Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, and Marco Rubio, who are openly pushing for the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. And also, this represents a dangerous phase in U.S. genocidal complicity in Gaza, especially since these policies that enable ethnic cleansing seem to enjoy bipartisan support. As Rashida Tlaib, Representative Rashida Tlaib bluntly put it after Trump first touted his plan toward funding genocide, there's a tacit acceptance of Trump's policies in Gaza, even among Democrats, pro-Israel Democrats who are beholden to AIPAC. That's no secret. And who have supported this genocide over the past 15 years under Biden. And the Biden administration right now is facing a lawsuit at the ICC submitted by a U.S. nonprofit foundation over war crime, over abetting and aiding war crimes in Gaza. Now, Israel complicity, as you said, in Israel ethnic cleansing of Palestinians does not stop in Gaza. In recent weeks, in anticipation of Trump's official recognition of Israel's illegal annexation of the West Bank, Israel has forcibly expelled the residents of three refugee camps in the occupied West Bank, Jenin, Tul Karim, and Nur Shams, including 20,000 in Jenin alone. And Jenin, and these are refugee towns. And right now, Israel is gearing up to escalate its military operations in the area. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz declared that the camps are, he declared the camps empty, ready to be occupied by the military army, which has already deployed a tank division to the area. And Israeli leaders are vowing not to allow displaced Palestinians to return to their cleared camps. So this is ethnic cleansing and forced displacement, similar to what happened in Gaza over the past 15 months. And the operation in the West Bank has resulted so far, as I said, in the forced displacement of 40,000 Palestinians. So there is no other way to describe it. This is ethnic cleansing in broad daylight, funded and abetted by Western democracies. And this is the first time since the Second Intifada in two decades that Israel has deployed tents in the West Bank with an aim of occupying it and expelling Palestinians from there. And remember, there is no Hamas in the West Bank. There is a Palestinian Authority, which cooperates with Israel on security issues. So this is an ethnic cleansing of Palestinians in Gaza, the West Bank, and it, as you said, it does not stop with Gaza.
This is Middle East in Focus, and we are talking today about the current situation in Palestine. And President Donald Trump's recently shared AI-generated video that shows his horrific futuristic vision for Gaza, featuring Trump himself, Elon Musk, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reveling and enjoying themselves on the ruins of displaced Palestinians and basking in the glory of an ethnically cleansed Gaza. With our guest, Siraj Asi, a Palestinian writer living in D.C., his books include The History and Politics of the Bedouin and the novel My Life as an Alien. He teaches Palestine studies at American University in Washington, D.C., and writes for Jacobin, Common Dreams, and Truth Out. Professor Asi, you importantly point out in your piece that U.S. and Israel share a history of ethnic cleansing and that Trump's genocidal plan for Gaza is very clearly linked to white supremacy. Can you elaborate on this?
What the United States and Israel share a history of ethnic cleansing. And Israel was founded on ethnic cleansing in 1948, or what Palestinians called the Nakba, which resulted in the wholesome destruction of Palestinian towns and villages and the forced expulsion of half of Palestine's Arab population. And the U.S. was the first country to recognize Israel at the time, despite its ethnic cleansing foundation. But it was hardly surprising, given the U.S. own history of ethnic cleansing. And Trump's plans for Gaza echo the forced displacement of Native Americans, indigenous Americans, via the so-called Indian Removal Act, which is widely described by historians as ethnic cleansing or genocide. Now, U.S. founders and politicians invoked similar justifications for the genocide of Native Americans, the ones that are parroted by Netanyahu about, you know, this is a war of civilization between civilized people and barbarians. And for U.S. leaders and politicians, it was always in the name of civilization. Thomas Jefferson, for example, declared that the barbarities of the Native Americans justified extermination. And a century later, President Theodore Roosevelt said that the extermination was as ultimately beneficial to Native Americans as it was inevitable. Nazi leaders also echoed similar justifications, following in the footsteps of U.S. Founders. So, and aware of this shared history, North American indigenous scholars see a common struggle now against settler colonialism. For example, in October 2023, they drafted a Gaza Solidarity Letter, which was signed by over 1,100 North American indigenous scholars, workers, students, and activists, and demanded stop the genocide, end the siege, end the occupation, dismantle apartheid, decolonize Palestine. And the letter acknowledged that, quote, the horrific violence in Gaza resulted from 75 years of Israeli settler colonial disposition, 56 years of military occupation, and 16 years of an open-air prison for 2.2 million people, half of whom are children. The atrocity of the Israeli apartheid regime in Palestine are relentless, illegal under international law, and consistent with settler colonial projects globally, end quote. Now, we must understand Trump's real estate imperialism, as I call it, or what anti-colonial scholars term violent disposition, within the framework of Israel's resettlement plans in Gaza. In my article, I cite historian Patrick Wolf, author of Settler Colonialism and the Elimination of the Native, where he writes, quote, settler colonialism destroys to replace. Wolf also quotes Theodore Herzl, founding father of Zionism, as saying, quote, if I wish to substitute a new building for an old one, I must demolish before I construct, end quote. Now, Israel's raising of Gaza over the past 15 months is linked to these settler colonial ambitions envisioned by Zionist founders and now echoed by Trump's depiction of Gaza as, quote, a demolition site. So for me, it's hard to think of a worse case of premeditated ethnic cleansing. And also, you mentioned white supremacy. Trump's genocidal plan for Gaza is inexorably linked to white supremacy. It has all the imprints of what anti-colonial historians and scholars term the white man's burden syndrome, which refers to a popular poem by novelist and poet Rudyard Kipling titled The White Man's Burden, the United States and the Philippine Islands. Now, the poem, which was written in 1899.
And just 30 seconds.
Has ever since as a hymn to U.S. imperialism. It's a metaphor for the civilizing mission that portrays colonialism as a benevolent enterprise. And as Trump, to quote Trump again, bringing light of civilization to Gaza, in this case. So this is, as I said, this is the same, or this is a reincarnation of the old colonial fantasies of what a white man burden of Orientalist fantasies of remaking the Middle East, and of course justifying genocide based on civilizing mission discourses. All these are now echoed by Donald Trump and Western leaders as well.